Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by HigherBalance.com. Get access to a free digital copy of the Higher Balance audio program, Energy Begins, when you visit HigherBalance.com/Real Ghosts. That's ghosts with an S. HigherBalance.com/Real Ghosts.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, your calls, your stories, 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Of course, you can also write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can even email us your audio file story if you're recording it on your mobile device, just on the record app there. You can email those MP3 or M4A or M35625431 JennyNumbers.com things to us. you email them, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. It's a new format.
Okay.
It's .54301 Jenny. It's
why is it that number?
That song, isn't that how did the song go?
867-5309.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Screwed that up.
Yeah, I used to 867. Used to know that number.
I hate that song.
Why?
It just got, I don't know, it was just like annoying. I can only imagine how annoying it was for you. Like, I've never liked that song. It's just always been like, kind of like, oh, that one's coming up again.
That was not near as annoying as when Forrest Gump came out and everybody insisted on, when they said my name, they go, Jenny.
Oh, yeah.
That has gotten so old.
Unfortunately, you have a rather common name.
I know.
So, although it's interesting because I think in like all of our kids' classes, I've yet to see a child named Jenny or Jennifer or anything. So I wonder if it's going to like come back as like one of those like unique names.
Yeah, and they'll spell it really weird.
Yeah, and like, I don't know. How long does that take? It'll probably take these kids, like grandkids, mm-hmm. for like, oh, my great grandmother was named Jenny. And they'll spell it some weird way.
And they'll
be the ones thinking, oh, I'm the only one that's naming my kid this. And it turns out, like, everyone's decided to name their children after their great-grandparents. And it'll, again, be a massive influx of Jennies into the world again.
Yes.
It's funny how that works, you know? Let's go to our first caller today at Real Ghost Stories Online. By the way, if you want some of our best stories, that's where our EPPs are getting them, on our EPP website, ghostpodcast.com. Check that out. Over there. Our first caller today, Matt in Colorado. Hi.
Hey, guys. This is Matt from Colorado. I want to say real quick, I love you guys' show. It helps me get through some boring nights at work. Keeps me focused on working, which is kind of weird listening to ghost stories to keep me focused. But that's not the point of this. This story is actually a story from my fiance. We found out, you know, shortly after being together, that she's a medium, and she, you know, has weird interactions with things she can't see, or, you know, ghosts every now and then, and she'll tell me about it. Even where we work, there's actually some pretty iffy things that go on here that she can see. Well, this story of hers goes back a while ago when she used to live in Nebraska, and when she lived there, there was this house that was on this road that was about, I think she said it was about an hour away from town, from the nearest town. And, you know, story has it that in this house, this older gentleman, he went insane. And this sounds just like something out of, like, a Tales from the Crypt story, but she swears it to be true, and I've never doubted her, because anytime I did when it came to stuff like this, she's always proved me wrong. In some better cases than that. But anyways, so there's this old gentleman who went insane because he was a farmer and they were having a hard time getting crops this year, and he kind of just finally lost it. And he took a shotgun and he killed his wife, and you know, it's very sad. You know, he killed his wife, and he hanged his son, and then eventually he took his own life. Well, her and her friends at the time went down to that house to check it out, just for adventure, so on and so forth. And in her exact words, she got out of the car. When she got out, you could see red, little red eyes under where the basement would be, just perching through the front steps. She said you could see him clear as day. And so, you know, when she was going up to the house, she stops in her tracks, because apparently right at the doorway she could see the old man, and he was standing there with a pitchfork, or I think it was the shotgun still, if I remember her telling me right. And he had a very, very angry look on his face, just very stay away from this place kind of look on his face. And so she stopped, and she told him, that she told her friends, she said, "I'm not going in there. We shouldn't be here. We need to leave now." And so she, you know, immediately turns around and bolts back, because the old man started to come down the stairs and started to run right at her. And she was looking her dead in the eye. I mean, he was looking her dead in the eyes, and he was just chasing her. And when she turned around to run, she was getting closer to the truck, looked back, and the old man was even closer. And then she said she felt a push. Needless to say, she got in that truck and left, and never went back. She's utterly terrified to go back there, and says she never will. This is only a few stories she's ever told me. There's a ton more, and I'll call in some other time to tell you guys the rest of them. But it's definitely one of the ones that really creeped me out too. All right. Again, love you guys' show. Love you guys' show. It's amazing. Keep it up. I hope to become an EVP soon. All right. Thank you. Bye.
Nothing like an old ghost man with a pitchfork. That just makes for happy memories.
You know, he said that his girlfriend's kind of a medium.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder how much fun that is when somebody says, "Hey, let's go to this supposed haunted house."
Mm-hmm.
If she's like, "Oh, yeah, let's do it." Or she's like, kind of don't want to.
Yeah.
Because she's probably going to see things that the others aren't.
Here's what I wonder about that is, when she's seeing things that the others aren't, are someone who is able to do that, are they aware that the other people are not able to see that too?
I don't know.
Or are they aware of what is viewable by everyone and what is not? Is there a way to know the answer to that question? I don't know.
I would guess that through time they would kind of figure out, oh, mm-hmm, that person, not everybody's seeing, but
sure.
You know, there might be some spirits that everybody can see.
Yeah, I just wonder, like, how they know who can see what, or if they can at all. If it's like, can you see that? Do you see, you know?
I don't know. Or is it a mind's eye thing where they see it, you know, without seeing it with their eyes?
And they're aware they're physically not seeing it. Yeah. So many questions.
I know.
So many questions.
I wish there was a show we could ask questions to.
So little answers.
Mm-hmm.
Like a show that's just for podcast hosts.
No,
to ask
I'm just,
questions.
I'm just joking.
Yes, there's like 4 listeners to that show.
I know.
And we happen to host it. We could host it too. And be like, oh, we wanted a show, but it's, yeah, okay, this is really self-defeating. So there you go. Higher Balance, my friends. Higherbalance.com. And you go there, higherbalance.com/realghosts. These folks are going to give you a free digital copy of the Higher Balance audio program, Energy Begins. Now, Higher Balance is the creation of actually a guest we had on the show the other day, Eric Pepin, as you remember. Excellent interview, very interesting life story when it comes to his interactions with the paranormal and ghosts and the ability to see them, and him and his desire to help others get to the level of being able to experience and see things as well. Energy Begins, that free audio program exclusively for Real Ghost Stories Online listeners, aims to dissect all forms of what we deem paranormal, giving detailed explanations behind the phenomena of ghosts, hauntings, dimensional beings, including shadow people, and more. Very, very interesting program. I highly recommend it. The program normally sells for $129, but because you guys listen to this program, it is exclusive to you guys, the Real Ghost Stories Online podcast community, for a limited time. Go to higherbalance.com/realghosts to download your copy of Energy Beings, okay? higherbalance.com/realghosts to get that. We'll also put the link up on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Take advantage of it while the offer is still available. If you like this show, you like the stuff we talk about, you're going to love this program. Really gets in depth on the topics that we cover here all of the time, and kind of connects some dots, to be completely honest. It's really interesting. higherbalance.com/realghosts. Or go to the link on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, and you will find the way to get it there. So check that out. Thanks to higherbalance.com for supporting the show today. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. It's going to Ryan. Hi. What's your story?
My name is Ryan, and I am a Marine. I was deployed in Japan recently. We were in Camp Fuji, which is on the other side of Mount Fuji from the Suicide Forest. I know what you're thinking, it's crazy, but you guys have to hear this story. I've experienced paranormal activity a good percentage of my life, but this is something I really have to get off my chest because there were multiple people involved. My squad leader and my squad and I were patrolling at night, and we see a figure. About roughly 100 meters, and so we call up, and I think, oh crap, I thought it was another platoon of ours in our company trying to ambush us, so we immediately said, and I rushed about 50 meters, and I realized that this thing wasn't the other platoon, it was a spirit, and it freaked me out, so I told my squad leader, he goes, haha, fucking boot, new guy, fucking kind of pull a fast one on me, and, so I kind of laughed it off, and I said, you know what, it probably didn't mean me any harm or anything, probably just a lost soul or a ghost or something. And so we're about wrapping it up, we're patrolling back to the main side base of Camp Fuji, and we were patrolling back, we were only about 3 miles from base. We were set up into a 360 security at an objective rally point where we would all just collect our stuff, make sure we had everything, make sure we didn't lose any objects or gear. And I'm looking through my MVGs, and I look to my left, and I see my friend Bernie just frozen. And right in front of him is the same spirit that I saw. Whatever it was, I had a gut-wrenching feeling. It was the same feeling that I had when I was about 15. With another bad spirit. I don't know. I'm not sure if it was a demon or not, but we had to get the hell out of there. Everyone on my squad saw me, and everyone immediately knew I wasn't full of shit. So my squad leader, he yells at it, like, go away. And I say, hey, leave us alone. It goes away. And we all gathered our gear. We strapped everything we had to our packs. We had our weapons ready. Because we can't just leave that, we'll get in trouble. So I immediately told my squad, they're like, hey, we got to get out of here now. So we start doing the marine recon shuffle all the way back to the 3 miles. It didn't matter if I had a broken ankle, a busted knee or anything, we were going back to base, and we needed to get out of that woods as soon as possible. I was the radio operator at the time. That was just the bill that I had. So I'm yelling at range control to for the MPs to open up the gate for us as soon as we come in. we start running. We're about, we get about 50 meters, well, maybe 100 meters away from the gate, and it's locked. And immediately thought, oh shit, oh shit. So everyone's freaking out. We gotta get the gate open. We gotta get the gate open. So we immediately, so we, at that point, we just said, screw it. So I grabbed my sleeping mat, my ISO mat, and I threw it over the barbed wire fence. And I said, everyone, go, go. Everyone, climb over. Everybody, climb over. Just get over the fence. Get over the fucking fence. And that's when the MPs show up. So they start yelling at us, like, you know, hey, what are you guys doing? And like, well, we don't know, like, there's something chasing us, so the MP's like, hi, that's really funny, guys, who are you guys with? So I said, so we didn't tell them our unit, we were just like, something is fucking chasing us. I was the last guy to get out, because, like, I wasn't about to leave my squad behind the supernatural for anyone to get scarred. And as I'm climbing over the fence again, I don't have a good grip, I threw all my gear, I threw my weapon over, and I just started clawing at the fence. It didn't matter if the ISO mat fell or anything. I was getting over that fence, and I was getting the hell out of there. I felt something grab my leg, and it's a person with a bloody face, and it was one of the most scariest things I've ever seen. Like, it tried grabbing me, but then my squad leader, thank God for him, he grabbed me, yanked me. And that's the story. I mean, we were all safe, but I'm really glad that no one got hurt that night. So please, thank you.
So what the hell was that?
Well, have you heard about the Suicide Forest?
I might have. I don't want to, like, take a guess as to what it may be if I'm incorrect. Do you know?
It's a forest in Japan.
Sure.
Where it's one of the most popular places actually in the world where mm-hmm. for people to go and kill themselves.
Sure.
And, you know, on average, they have around 50 people a year do it there.
That they're aware of.
Okay. I mean, they've gotten to where they've posted signs at the head of the trail, says, you know, has a suicide prevention number on it, says, think of your family, you know, trying to head people off.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have an annual search where police come out and they basically do a forest search
mm-hmm.
to see if they can, you know, find bodies.
Sure.
Just to get them out of there.
Not a place to go picnic.
No, but they say it's haunted by a lot of angry spirits. Go figure. I don't know why.
That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
My God. It's interesting. And the reaction being very interesting, too, of just, oh my, I mean, you could tell, like, he really felt like there was something very, very negative about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just by the reaction of getting out of there. It's not just the, hey, look, a ghost, you know, or that's weird. It was like, everyone leave.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like he had, you know, more insight to it than, you know, maybe than he was even aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Of just the urge of knowing to get out of there. So, I don't know.
Obviously very scary. You could tell once he talked about what he saw,
mm-hmm.
the story ended very quickly after that.
Yeah. That was a creepy one.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very creepy one. Thank you for sharing that that experience with us. Here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Our number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to a caller in Florida. Hi.
Hi, Bruce Hughes. This is Estefania from Florida again. I had called in a couple weeks ago about a shadow person that I saw. And just going back to what Tony said, he had said he wondered if the shadow person that I saw was, like, solid black or if it was a little bit transparent. And it was honestly a solid black figure. It was just a really scary experience. But anyways, the story I wanted to tell you guys today was about an experience I had at my grandparents' house. And I had my sister with me, and she can tell you that this was probably one of the scariest things that has also happened to me. This happened in Oklahoma. My grandparents live in a small town. And it was like, we used to go there probably every summer. We would stay at least like a week with our grandparents. And it would just be me, my sister, and my brother. But I remember this particular weekend, it was just me and my sister. And my grandparents are very old-fashioned. They go to bed, like, at 9 p.m., and they're in bed, and they're they usually don't get up in the middle of the night, so this kind of, well, you'll see why I'm saying this later. But anyway, so me and my sister are sleeping in the guest bedroom that they have in their house, which is out in the middle of the woods. It's very far out from town. And it's really, really generally super quiet, because, and all you can hear is like the bugs outside, because it is just at night, because it's out in the country, it's just dead silent. And so I was sleeping on a mattress on the ground, I remember, and my sister was sleeping on like a bed, like a small twin size bed, and she was right next to me. And it was around 3 a.m, I remember. It was really, really late at night. I couldn't sleep again. And I was laying there, and if usually if somebody were walking in the hallways, you could hear like the floors creak because they have wooded floors. So what freaked me out the most about this was that I didn't ever hear like anyone get up, like my grandma or anybody. So that kind of contributes to the story. But anyway, so I'm laying there and I'm on my phone, and I remember I couldn't sleep, and the door was shut. But out of the blue, it is just pitch dark. It's super quiet. I just start hearing this mumbling sound. And it sounded like somebody started talking in the living room. And the living room was not far from the guest bedroom, so it was really creeping me out. Like, I just froze. I was like, what? And it just sounded like, I could only make out that it sounded more feminine, like an older woman, almost like it could be my grandma. Just, but I couldn't make out any words. It was just super mumbled, just muffled. It was just like, you know, like you couldn't really hear it. And I kind of was confused, because I was like, I didn't hear my grandma get up or anybody get up, and there's no one out here. I mean, the neighbors are far away. I mean, this is out in the middle of the country. Like, nobody's inside. I would hear if somebody came in, like, nothing. It was just quiet, and all of a sudden, so I hear this mumbling, and I freeze, because I immediately start to panic, and then I start hearing a second voice. Now, the second voice, I think it was also sounded feminine, like more, you know, like a woman's voice. But it was, like, not as deep as the first voice, so you could tell that there was two people talking, and it was just very light and just very mumbled, just very, you know. And I start to panic and get scared, and I wake up my sister, and I'm, like, freaking out, and I'm like, there's somebody in the living room, you know, like, I can hear this person, and it's just freaking me out. And she, like, it took her a while to wake up, but as soon as she, like, came to, she listened, and she just looked at me with, like, wide eyes, and was like, who is in the living room? And I told her that I hadn't heard anyone get up or anything. And so we both started listening to this, like, it wasn't like a full-on conversation. It was kind of like when the older woman would just like say something, and then the other person would respond, and it would get a little bit quiet, and then it would happen again, like every few seconds. It was kind of on and off. And the last thing that, like, creeped me out the most was that after, like, we listened to this, we were both, like, freaking out. We just kind of sat there. I remember I was so scared I, like, jumped on her bed, and I was like, I am freaking out. Like, this is too much. And it was just so confusing, because we had no idea, like, what could it be? A radio? Like, could it be? I mean, we literally thought about every possible thing, but there was no, you know. So the only way for us to find out was for us to go and check it out. So we're sitting there, and sorry if it's loud outside. If there's loud noise in the background, I'm outside. But anyway, my sister wants to go check it out, but she gets really scared, and she's like, maybe you should go check it out. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I really did it. Out of the blue, okay, so these people are talking in the living room, and all of a sudden I hear a rocking chair that's in the living room. It creaks. And I freeze. We both freeze, and we look at each other, and we're, like, really scared. And that just basically just concluded how, like, all of our thoughts, we were like, okay, there's somebody definitely in the living room. We just have to go check it out. So I get up, and I slowly open the door. And it had been a few seconds since somebody said something. So I open the door, and I peek my head out, and it's just silent. and I walked all the way to the living room. My sister was behind me, and it was just quiet and dead. No one in the living room, just pitch black. And I seriously just, we cannot explain it. And it's just something that we've just been freaked out about all these years. So that's just a story that I wanted to tell you guys. I'm a proud EPP, and I love the show. And it just helps my day go by. So thank you guys for doing the show. And have a good day. Bye.
There's something about when you finally hear an object move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think people are more willing to, you know, brush off voices, thinking, well, I think I hear something, but maybe I don't. But when you hear an object move, then all bets are off, and you know something's going on, and you're not making that up.
Especially when you can actually visibly go see it have being moved, or even after the fact, like, I know this wasn't here before. Which is funny, because you would think that the voices sometimes would be a little more definitive than just something sliding across the floor. A lot of times you would think, oh, this, you know, I can write off that's a creak or a crack. Even though it sounds nothing like a creak or a crack, it sounds like the ottoman is moving across the floor upstairs, but I'm just going to say it's this or that.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we're, for whatever reason, more quick to dismiss voices.
I know.
Is it like a mechanism in us, like a safety mechanism of not getting over freaked out? That it's like, wait a second, we're going to water this down in our minds and think there's something else here.
You know, maybe it is. I don't know. I mean, but don't you agree that people are more willing to write off sounds that they can't prove than, like, an object moving?
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay.
I would agree. That's a creepy story.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that that experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And thanks for being an EPP and helping to keep this thing on the air. EPP's now up to right around 90 EPP bonus episodes by the time of this airing. And lots of bonus content as well. Seeing Ghosts episodes up there. And again, by the time this one goes live, new Seeing Ghosts will be released right around that area.
Okay.
So we got the other one up, well, at the time of recording this, not that long ago, but by the time this thing airs, it'll be time for a new one to be going up. So excited about that. If you have any real ghost photos that you have taken or you have permission to share, we would love to see those and possibly use it on a future episode. You know, orb ones are good if it's like really, really compelling. I think the some of the best ones, if you're wanting some tips on how to get your picture on the show, anything where we can really clearly make out a full-bodied apparition or something of the nature.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that really, really stand out. There's a lot of orb ones, and sometimes the orb ones are really, really compelling. Or video. Some of the orb videos can be really compelling. Mm-hmm. You're like, what the hell is that? So photos or videos, if you have something that you want to share, send it over to us, and we may put it on a future episode. Do include about 3 or 4 sentences about what exactly it is we are looking at. That's helpful as well. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what I'm looking at here. You can email that Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Hi.
Hi, this is Sarah calling from Ontario, Canada. Again, I hope you're not sick of my stories yet. I'm calling. I've got a good one for you, I think. It's one of my favorite ghost stories. And it actually happened to a good friend of mine, her sister and her mother. Now, I've been good friends with my friends since we were about 5 years old, so almost 25 years now. And I've always been close with her mother as well. Sometimes I call her my other mother, so I'm fairly confident in the validity of the story. And they've told me this story several times, so I'm confident in retelling it, so we'll do the best I can. So when we were near entering high school age, so I guess maybe 13, 14 years old, my friend and her mother and one of her older siblings took a trip down to Kingston, Ontario. And I'll give you a quick little history because it's relevant to the story. My friend's mom has always kind of been a little bit sensitive. I'm not sure to what extent, but she's always has several stories where she's seen things or past people that she's known have come forward to her, and she's seen full-bodied apparitions and things like that. She emigrated from London, so she's got quite a few stories from there as well, too, because it's quite a hotbed of activity, that old country. So they went down to Kingston to visit, I believe the house is called Bellevue House, and the story of this house, it's kind of marketed as a home where Sir Johnny Macdonald lived. He was the first Prime Minister of Canada, so it's kind of a museum now, and the house is sort of maintained to look as it did back when he lived there. Now, technically, he didn't actually own the house. He rented the house, and the reason why they moved to the house is prior to him being Prime Minister, his first wife was really, really sick, and so he could still do his work in Kingston. They moved to this house, which had a little bit more air, and it was supposed to be a little bit better of a place for her to hopefully get better. So they lived there during the time, specifically because she was ill. And it's a fairly large house with a nice, pretty property and a beautiful garden. And the house, you know, was kind of run at the time by servants and whatnot. I kind of think of Downton Abbey when you think of it, because that was sort of the era and that was the kind of money they had. So they lived in this house with several servants that were full-time. So when my friend and her mother and sister arrived to the property, they went into the tourist center and got a guided tour, just them. And so they entered the, they looked around the gardens for a bit, and they entered the main house. And soon after going into the house, you know, they're walking through and they're looking into each of the rooms. And some of the rooms are sort of have a velvet rope around them, so you can go stand in the room, but you can't touch the artifacts. And soon after going into the house, my friend's mother, they noticed, started, she had a pamphlet in her hand, and she started sort of rapidly fanning herself. And they kind of noticed it and thought it was a little odd and kind of asked if she was okay, and she said she was fine. And they kept going through the tour. And, you know, their mother, who's a very, very talkative person, was very quiet, and she sort of gave really sort of short answers or comments to questions, but for the most part, she kept very quiet and almost whispered her answers. And so they went through the house, and they came down to the cellar of the house, and their mom just started kind of freaking out and sort of said, "We have to leave. I have to go." And they're kind of like, "Why?" And she's just like, "I'll tell you later. We just have to go." So they exited the house and sort of left the tour guide standing behind on her own, and they marched house and marched across the gardens and across the lawn and just kept going. My friend said she was pretty much running to kind of keep up with the pace of her mom to kind of catch up to what was happening. And, you know, they're like, "What's going on? What's wrong?" She's like, "I'll tell you in a minute. Just let's get off of this, get out of this place." So they came to a park and sat down at a park bench. And their mom sort of collected herself and relaxed a little bit. And then she started to tell her side of the story. So when she entered the house, a couple minutes in, I guess she kind of was sort of taken over by the spirit of someone or something, and she said that it was kind of like living inside of someone else's head. Like, she would look down at her hands, and they weren't quite her hands, and she could see, you know, like a little black dress on her, and an apron around her waist, and basically she was living inside of the head of a servant of the property. And inside this mind, she just kind of kept thinking, you know, got to stay quiet, got to be quiet. You know, the mistress is ill, have to stay quiet, got to stay out of the way. And she would go into these rooms and she would kind of see them exactly as they were. She wouldn't see the velvet rope. She didn't see her children, but she kind of, her conscious mind sort of knew that they were there, but she couldn't see it. It was just as, she could see things as they were, and she could see other people passing, and she was almost living in this alternate dimension, basically. And she got down to the cellar, and that's when, I guess, just sort of an overwhelming feeling of dread or sickness or something, I'm not really quite sure, but something bad sort of overcame her, and that's when she sort of snapped out of it and was just like, we've got to get out of here, I can't be here. And yeah, that was the story of when they visited the house, and it's pretty remarkable. I don't know a lot of people that happens to. I've heard of it happening to people, but I thought it was a pretty cool story to share with you. So thanks for putting on the show. Love it. Have a great day. Bye.
I think the rule of thumb is if you're going to go to a haunted place or ghost hunting or what have you with someone who is rather sensitive and you're not, you kind of got to take the word of the sensitive person sometimes.
You do.
And be like, okay, even though I may not be experiencing this, if they're, you know, if they know something's not right, you got to follow it.
Well, and even if this particular spirit wasn't traditionally threatening,
mm-hmm.
you know, a sensitive person shouldn't have to put up with a spirit kind of taking over what their, you know, what their senses are seeing and smelling and feeling. And mm-hmm. basically, you know, I hate to use the word possession, but basically kind of possessing them for a short term.
Yeah, I don't think that that's necessarily a non-threatening spirit.
Well, but it didn't want to cause harm. It just basically sure. wanted to show or use, you know, mm-hmm. the sensitive person as a conduit.
Sure.
So it's not threatening in the sense that it's hurting, but mm-hmm. it's just not something that they should have to put up with.
It's, I mean, I totally get what you're saying, but you could make this the argument of, you know, I really am just hungry, and I my car's not working right now, so I'm just going to take my neighbor's car without asking and use it as a conduit to go to the restaurant and then come back. And I'm not stealing it. I'm totally returning it back to the owner, and I'm not asking, though. I'm just doing it. That's the thing. It's like the not asking.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you're going to ask this person. Hey, can I possess you for a few minutes so I can feel everything you're feeling? But it's kind of the same thing. It's like, sure, you're giving it back. You're not going to do anything wrong with it or bad. It's just, it's not proper to do that, to just take something or get in control of someone else's body.
And I'm not at all saying that it's okay.
Sure. No, I know. Okay. I know. It's just, it's kind of like that sort of a thing where it's like, okay, you may not, you're not going to like make this person, you know, spew pea soup or, you know, yell and do horrible things like a regular old possession, the jolly old ones, but it's just not, you know, it's hard for it to not be at least perceived as somewhat threatening.
Okay.
From the individual, you know, because you don't know for sure
mm-hmm.
what exactly is that there, you know, that is taking over. So that'd be very disturbing.
It would be.
I don't.
And it's, you know, if you're in a situation where you're just having a great time looking at stuff, but the mm-hmm. sensitive's freaking out, definitely go with the sensitive.
Yeah, very, very true. Let's go to another caller here. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. My name is Joe. I live in northern Utah. I've been listening to your show for about a week now, and I'm really enjoying it. I love hearing about these things. I have a few experiences in my life that I would like to share. I'll just do one today. Back at my parents' house, they lived on the edge of some fields. Right behind them was a big horse field, and at the edge of that field was a giant, old barn. And this barn was super duper creepy. A lot of the doors in it were nailed shut, and so a lot of the place where they kept the cattle, and there was a basement in it. A lot of those places were pitch black when you got into them, and as children, me and my friends used to go and sneak around in there and play in there when we know we weren't supposed to. It was pretty old and falling apart, but we'd go there anyway. And we'd try and stay away from those dark places because, I mean, they were like pitch black. But one time we went there, tried to go there as early as possible so there was enough, a little bit of light. We brought our flashlights and we went down in the basement. And down there, you could see they kept old farm equipment down in the basement, and they kept old memorabilia and stuff. And there was a painted picture down there of a like a sea captain, and he had his eyes gouged out by someone we don't know who, and a lot of the equipment looked down there, as kids, it looked to us like torture equipment, and so we always got the creeps going to those places. So my friend watched a ghost hunting episode of some sort, and we decided to create a little ghost hunting club, and so we made actually t-shirts and stuff and went there one night. One of the creepy things that started the night is we left from my house, and as we opened the back door to go and jump the fence, my cupboards in my house started going wild, opening and shutting and opening and shutting and slamming really hard. And one of my friends started getting freaked out, and I was like, no, it's probably just the wind. And I think that kind of set the mood up for the rest of the night. We were all a little freaked out about that. And so as we got to this barn, we couldn't use our flashlights because the barn was owned by a pretty older couple. And we knew that if they caught us in there, that they would tell our parents that we were in there. And so we were going there without flashlights. And I think it was our first time ever going there at night. And so all of us were on edge. And we went around to our usual spots all together, and nothing really popped out at us. So we decided to split up. Probably stupid on our parts, but we were stupid kids. So I headed up to the attic area. One of my friends went down to the basement, and one of them decided to walk through the outside and go see if they could see any things from the outside. So as I was up in the attic, I started using my flashlight. There's a lot of graffiti on the walls that people in my neighborhood that were older than me used to do. And that's the last thing that I remember. My friend that was outside was looking up at the attic, and they had a little doorway there that they used to throw hay bales out of, from the attic. And he saw me walking straight for that door, and he yelled for me, and I didn't respond to him. So he was wondering what was going on, and I came right up to the edge and stopped. And then he said he saw what looked like me getting pushed. It wasn't like me just falling out of this doorway, but actually getting physically pushed out of this doorway. And I landed in a horse trough that was full of really gross water. And he came running up to me to come and pull me out. And as he reached under me, he cut his finger. And so he pulled me out really quick and then reached back in to see what cut his finger and pulled out a butcher's knife. And after that, I came to, didn't realize what was going on. I was covered in water, soaked. And so we started heading home, and he was telling me this story about how he found this butcher's knife and how I just looked like I got pushed out of this door. I don't know, maybe we were just stupid and we kept going back there, but we never had an experience quite like that. We had a few other weird experiences, but nothing that bad. And I looked into the history a little bit about this barn, and from what I know, no one ever died in it. Nothing really bad ever happened in it, except for maybe after they stopped using it, maybe some teenagers went in there and did some weird things. I mean, we found that picture with the eyes bored out of it, and we would find symbols on the walls and stuff, but we just chalked it up to graffiti. I really like your show. I think you should definitely keep going with this. I plan on soon to become a EPP. And I will talk to you next time.
All right. Thanks for recording that and sending that in on your mobile device. He kind of had me at the, and there is a picture of the sea captain with his eyes gouged out. That's where I'd have been like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
That's where I'm like more afraid of the people
mm-hmm.
that could possibly be in there who'd be hanging the picture of the sea captain with his eyes gouged out than I would be the actual entities themselves.
Well, and to see somebody pushed, you know that, you know, that when somebody's pushed, their body looks different than if they just fall.
Sure.
You know, there's a huge difference there. Something pushed him.
Yeah. I mean, when you can obviously see that, and it's interesting, you know, was there intent there, whatever was pushing him, that did it know that in the trough?
Or maybe it did.
Or was it just pushing or, you know, like, oh, shit, I didn't mean to kill you, you know. Well, thank good thing no one died, but the potential is there when you fall into the old horse trough with the butcher knife.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think that might end my ghost hunting adventures after after that incident. Thank you for the experience, and thank you for sharing that with us here on the show. Let's go to Nick in Michigan. Hi.
Hi, Tony. My name is Nick Clements. I am from Schoolcraft, Michigan, and I listen to your show every day. I get a chance to. I'm catching up right now. But my story is from when I was probably around 8 or 9. I lived in a house over in Kalamazoo, Michigan, that it was an older house. It was a slab house. And when my brother was younger, he's 6 years older than me, so when he was younger, he used to, I guess, hear voices and stuff like that. And then my mom would be like, Chris, who are you talking to? And he would say, Mom, the funny voices are talking to me again. But nobody ever saw anything, and the dog would always stand at the end of the hallway and stare at the closet that's at the end of that hallway and sit there and growl. But she sat there for hours on end doing that. But nobody's ever seen anything for the longest time. And then I was probably 8 years old, and I had a bunk bed that was, the bottom level was a king-size bed, and the top level was a twin bed, so you could easily see, like, the top bunk. And one night, I was laying in my room, and I was sitting there watching TV before school the next day, and I turned my TV off, and I went to bed. I was trying to fall asleep. And probably 20 minutes later, my TV turns on by itself, and it's white static, or white noise, whatever you call it. And I'm like, okay. So as I look up, and over the top bunk, all I see is two hands, like they're gripping onto the side of the bed, and then like half of a face just from the nose up, peeking over the side of the bed, looking at me. And I screamed. Obviously screaming for my mom. She came running in, and as soon as my mom almost touched the door, the TV shut back off. Mom opened the door, and the thing was gone. There's been multiple instances in that house. That was it for that house. About a year later, we moved out and moved into the new house, which hasn't had any issues or any activity at all, really, which is good. And not old. Now I'm 20, so it was quite a long time ago. Anyways, I know it's a short story, but you guys keep up doing what you're doing. I love you guys. You guys make work so much easier every day. And I love how you guys give people an outlet to get their stories out. So, you know, when I hear these stories and I hear ones like mine, I don't feel as crazy. So, anyways, keep doing what you guys are doing. I love the show. Have a good day, guys. Bye.
It's a little delayed there on the bunk bed bell, but
you still got it in there.
I got it in there.
Yep. So I always go back to, if the animals are upset about something, there's something causing it.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree there. I'm just trying to wonder if the bunk bed has anything to do with it or not. Unfortunately, the tie-in where you can you know, make those, you know, assumptions or connect those dots, it's usually children who are recounting these things so many years later,
mm-hmm.
and the time window sometimes of when did we get the bed, when did this happen, when did that happen, not exactly clear enough to recount accurately.
Right.
So, yeah, it's reminiscent of a lot of bunk beds room stories where the stuff happens, you know, it's freaking out the kids and then gone. I don't know. I still hold to my thing that there's something with some bunk bed company at some point in time that was releasing bunk beds in the late 70s and into the 80s that there was something up.
Okay.
I don't know. We will someday get to the bottom of this. It is very, very bizarre. A big thank you to today's sponsor, HigherBalance.com. When you go to HigherBalance.com/RealGhosts, enter your email and get access to a free digital copy of the Higher Balance audio program, Energy Begins. Eric Pepin is behind all that. He was our interview last week on Wednesday, I believe. Just very, very interesting guy, and it puts out some really phenomenal programs on the topic of paranormal and ghosts and everything we talk about here. The Energy Begins program is aimed to dissect all forms of what we can deem paranormal, giving detailed explanations behind the phenomena of ghosts, hauntings, dimensional beings, including shadow people, and more. This is a program that's normally $129, exclusive to you guys right now. You get it for free. HigherBalance.com/RealGhosts. Download your copy of Energy Beings while it is still available. It's a limited time offer. You can also click on the link on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, and get your copy of that for free. So thanks you guys for supporting the show today. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We, of course, would love to hear them. You can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you enjoy the program and you'd like to keep this thing going, that's what the EPPs do, extra podcast persons. You get a bonus episode of the show every single week, access to about 90 or so of our archived EPP episodes. Just binge away on that. Some of the best ghost stories that we get go to those episodes, and of course, exclusive video content as well. So as campfire season begins and you want to, you know, some real just kick-ass ghost stories, that's where you'll find them on the EPP episodes. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com. That's our official EPP site, ghostpodcast.com. Click Become an EPP. $5 a month is all it is. Get all that stuff, and that's what keeps this thing on the air. So check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.